Welcome to the Gambling Files podcast, the podcast that hasn't shit its pants. You're listening to the Gambling Files podcast. I'm one of your hosts, John Bruford. I'm joined by Fintan Costello, the other host.
Hello, John.
Hello, Fintan. How are you?
I'm good.
Nah, I'm just fucking with you. We already recorded. Oh, no. We recorded the interview. Oh, yeah, this is the intro. How are you?
I'm good. Had a busy day.
Yeah, it's been chaos. Whew. Yeah. So, anything going on with you?
No. So I went to the gym this morning because I needed to use the treadmill. And I've discovered a new kind of road rage for me. Not road rage, but just kind of like something that really pisses me off.
Mm.
So all the treadmills were taken.
I know.
And everybody on the treadmill was holding on to the treadmill.
What's that all about?
And it's just like, why even bother? It's cheating. If you've got to hold on, then either, you know, go slower or take the incline down a bit and get an actual workout. So anyway, that just annoyed me. But that's okay. At least they were in the gym doing the workout and they got there before me. So they've got full treadmill privileges, but it did make it a little bit upset inside.
No, it's pretty annoying. It always used to make me chuckle because I haven't been in a gym for quite a while. It always used to make me chuckle when you see people go into a gym, usually women, but not always. Actually, the next part is always, or was always, women. But they would come in full makeup, etc., yeah, and work out in the lightest possible way and leave not having broken a sweat. You do see blokes do it as well, but the difference is that they're not usually in full makeup.
Yeah, it's the gym I use, because it's the closest one to me. It's very much like that. Like, I'm the only person in there sweating.
And oh, so Christ. I fucking thrash myself when I'm in there.
I use it for the treadmill, and the air conditioning's not very good, so it gets really hot. So I have to spend probably a good 15 minutes just cleaning up afterwards.
I wonder what the Dutch for "that sweaty twat" is, because I'd be willing to bet that's your gym nickname.
I don't know, but everybody's in the splash zone. It's like you go to those water parks and like, if you're in row 3, you're in the splash zone. Have a poncho. So I'm thinking of getting ponchos to give out to the people on the treadmills beside me.
Speaking of ponchos and splash zones.
Mm-hmm.
No, I've told you that. I've told you about the story of going to see Evil Dead the musical, haven't I?
No, don't think so.
Really? It's my best ever splash zone story. Not that I've got a lot of splash zone stories. So I was in, this was, must have been 2019. I was in Vegas, and I always check the entertainment listings before I go to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's like 3 bands on my bucket list, and 2 of them play Vegas now and again. And the last bunch of years, it's been just before I get to Vegas that they've played, which is quite annoying. But I still check the listings every time, just in case. Anyway, I think I was on Twitter, and Bruce Campbell, star of the Evil Dead movies and top TV series Ash versus the Evil Dead, shared a tweet from Evil Dead the musical.
Mm.
And I was like, oh. And I checked the tour listings, and they're in Vegas the same week I was. And I was like, I'm so going to that.
Ooh.
So the big day comes, and I head down. It's in this little place. I think it was called The Space. And it's this little theater and bar in the arse end of nowhere. And it's in the middle of an industrial estate. It's the Uber driver was like, yeah, I've got no fucking idea where that is.
Are you sure you want to get out? Do you want me to wait?
Oh, it gets worse. Trust me. So, I go in, and I've booked my tickets in the splash zone, but there's only about 15 people in the theater, and we're all essentially in the splash zone. Now, are you familiar with the Evil Dead films?
I haven't. I don't like horror movies.
They're very, very much horror movies.
Yeah. So I'm aware of the Evil Dead franchise, but look, I've never
you get
them.
Scared by my describing it, just say, and I'll substitute some words.
Okay.
So there's this. They kind of amalgamated some of the incidents in the movies to make this superb music. I mean, it was so good. It was funny. It ticked almost all the fanboy boxes, and it was just so well done. And it was superbly well staged. They used a digital backdrop and a digital floor,
nice,
which meant that they could. It was representing a cabin in the woods, so they could change it to, you know, the front of the cabin, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a part in the movie where Ash, the hero's hand, becomes possessed, and it knocks him out in a long and comical Three Stooges-style fight. And while he's knocked out, it sees a knife across the floor, and it drags him across the floor inch by inch. Well, they were able to do that because the digital floor.
Oh, nice, nice, nice.
It was awesome. But anyway, I've gone ahead of myself a bit here. So his hand becomes possessed because at an earlier point in the movie, his girlfriend becomes in the show, his girlfriend becomes possessed. He cuts her head off with a shovel, buries her outside. Her reanimated corpse comes back and her disembodied head bites his hand. And he can't get her head off his hand. So he takes her into the work shed, sticks her head in the vise, tightens it up until she lets go. And she's in the vice saying, you know, we'll eat your girlfriend's soul or some shit. He gets a chainsaw and starts carving her head up with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to substitute any words?
No, it's okay. I'm hanging in.
And at that point, I noticed that there were several, probably 6-inch diameter tubes at the front of the stage. And I got covered from head to toe. No word of a lie. Absolutely soaked to the skin with fake blood. I mean, it gushed, it hosed out. They did not hold back. It was cool as fuck.
They didn't give you a poncho or anything like that?
No. The chair had one. I mean, the poncho on the chair was probably for me, but I just assumed it was to protect the chair. So the chair came out of it fine. And then it was the interval. So the interval comes and you go out and I'm like...
You look like a crime scene.
Basically. And I was I was cleaning my glasses off on the back of my T-shirt and all of this. And I'm like, Jesus, that was so funny. It was so well done. Everybody goes back in and sits down and the play resumes from the exact same point. So you sit down, the chainsaw roars and you get covered again because they know full well everybody's gone outside and like bought a souvenir T-shirt or put a coat on.
There is.
It was fabulous. And then it finishes and I got an Uber to take me back. I can't remember where I was staying, but it was, you know, this place, the space, it was reasonably far off strip, I think. And it was pretty dark and all that. And the driver shows up and he's like, oh, thank God. Once we'd established I was his fare. Oh, thank God. I was starting to think, you know, tonight's the night. This is how it's going to end. You know, I've been lured to a really dark corner and I'm going to die. And I just thought, thank God it's dark and he can't see that I am dripping with blood from head to toe.
You're in full American Psycho mode.
I really was. I'd put plastic sheeting down on everything.
Funny.
But if anybody gets the opportunity to go and see Evil Dead the Musical, I heartily recommend it. It is a tremendous night out. So anyway, how do we go into that? Who was on the episode?
Today we have Scott Longley from the Earnings and More.
No, we don't. No, that's the other intro.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we've already done that intro.
Sorry.
Jesus Christ. It's sorry. Like, Thank God we're not sponsored, Fintan. That's all I can say.
It'd be so embarrassing.
It would be so embarrassing.
We've got Jay Sater. Thanks.
You just forgotten the order that we're doing this in.
You don't tell me anything. You just shove a microphone in my face and get me talking, and I've just got to figure it out.
It's not a microphone, Fintan.
You're a maverick.
So I'm a classic lone wolf.
You are. I'm learning.
And so it's difficult for me to work with others.
But a wolf works as a pack. The pack survives.
Yeah, but that's why it's called a lone wolf.
The lone wolf dies.
No. He just fucks shit up on his own.
Lone wolf dies. The pack survives. Everyone knows.
No, you're thinking of the lone wolf. No, he is dead. I remember lone wolf. Lovely fella. No friends. I don't know why they called him that. But I don't think the lone wolf necessarily dies. We'll agree to disagree because you're wrong. But we have Jay Sater, our Indian lawyer friend, who is talking about the recent. So one of the things Jay's involved with is the G2G news site, and he's talking about the event they just had in Goa, and also talking about just some of the stuff in a more general sense that's going on with gambling regulation in India, because it's a peculiarly fluid and a market with a lot of gray areas, and if they ever get a handle on sorting all that shit out, it's going to be enormous, and in a good way. So anyway, that's what Jay's talking about. You were there, you know.
I do, and he was great. He's a super smart guy.
He's better than us.
He invited us to India in full Indian hospitality.
Totally going.
I'm so excited. He's going to regret that now. He's like, oh, did I say that? We knock on his door.
He really is.
In our full Cobra Kai geese.
We'll say something like, didn't you say something about you would treat us as gods? I think that's what you said, Jay. And he's so polite and so lovely that he would just be like, yeah, I suppose so. Fuck. But he'll say it in a nicer way than that. So we got Jay on, and that follows us. That no ads because we've got no sponsor. There's no pressure, Fintan, but you know.
I'm trying. Conversations are ongoing.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
On to Jay. Our first guest today, we might even have two guests on this episode. I don't know. We've got so many episodes coming. So many episodes. Myself, Fintan, for those of you who haven't listened before, are joined by Jay Sater. Jay is fundamentally a lawyer working from India. He's got his fingers in a lot of pies. We might call him Pie Finger from now on. I'm really not sure. Jay, welcome back.
Thank you, John. Great to be back. Thank you. Hi, Fintan and John. Look forward to a great conversation.
Don't get your hopes up, Jay. First thing I want to bring up is, I think it was last month, you had your inaugural G2G event in Goa, didn't you?
Yes, that's right.
So, was it a terrible failure or what?
I mean, people went home happy, with shiny trophies and a lot of stories to tell. So I won't say it's a terrible failure. And Fintan, as you know, just to give the listeners a bit of background for those who are joining this and haven't heard our earlier conversation. So I am part of G2G.news as an advisor, which is a news and content website tracking the gaming industry in India. And as part of G2G News, we also decided to get the industry together and do an event in Goa in India where most of the industry stakeholders from India as well as overseas, those who are interested in the Indian market can come and network and understand a lot of things there was an expo and awards. So we did the first edition under the umbrella G2G Expo on 11th and 12th November, that is last month in Goa. And it was not a terrible failure, and there were like happy faces in the end. So I guess, yeah, that's what it is.
That could just mean that you got everybody drunk there.
Yeah, I mean, that was part of it, right? If you have good food, good drinks, and good entertainment, and people go back happy, I mean, that's half the story done, right?
It's the sign of a good party, all right?
Yeah.
So just to highlight something Jay mentioned there, the site is g2g.news, G2G News. And I'm a big fan. So, Jay, it was a conference and expo. Where was the emphasis? Because I know this being the first event, I'm going to assume that the emphasis was on the conference side.
I mean, yes, there was a conference, there was an expo, and there was an evening full of entertainment and an award show. So I would say the focus was more on the content, that is the conference and networking and the, you know, having a nice evening where people chat and gather in an informal way over drinks, over dinner, over entertainment, and enjoy themselves and talk about things concerning the industry network amongst themselves. I think that was the main idea. The expo was also part of the show. But we started on a small scale, knowing that it's a first edition and it's going to, you know, take time for people to know about it, talk about it. So we wanted people to come for the first one, have a look, enjoy, and, you know, possibly we'll do something on a grander scale, larger scale next year again in Goa.
Is it going to be, is it planned for next year? Have you got the date in mind already?
I mean, we'll plan after the new year. That's what our board and our team has decided. In principle, yes, we do plan to do an event next year, sometime in the second half of next year, in Goa again. So that's the plan as of now, and we do intend to do the event. But because the feedback we received from everyone was that they do want to come back. They do want to enjoy this again. And since nobody is essentially doing this in India, and we are the first ones where we broadly take everyone together, all the industry stakeholders, without trying to exclude someone, without trying to, you know. So we had invited everybody, and most of them showed up from India and they enjoyed. They said, we want to come again. So yes, we do intend to do the next one again next year in Goa. And by next month, you guys will be hearing more about it, hopefully.
I think I've said many times before that part of the battle with creating an event winning part of the battle of making an event is putting the event somewhere that people just want to go. I mean, that's one of the reasons that if G2E was not in Las Vegas, I'm not sure that it would be the international event that it is. I think it would be much more of a local event. ICE benefits from London.
Right.
But, you know, it's a shame that you had to put your thing on in Goa because it's such a dump.
So, I mean, you know, you are absolutely right. The venue, the location of the city matters, you know, a lot while doing an event. And there are a lot of factors in mind. One of them is accessibility, flights, and, you know, hotels, and so on. A lot of options are there in India. I mean, Mumbai, Delhi, the two big cities, as well as Bangalore, where all the tech online gaming companies are. These three are also natural choices. But Goa is a place, you know, where everyone from India and even abroad would like to go and spend, you know, couple of days and even the weekend over there. There's beaches, and it's the only one of the only two states currently where gaming is licensed, in the sense casinos are present in India, one being Goa, the second one being Sikkim. Sikkim is a little less accessible in that sense. It does not have a fully functional airport, very few flights, roads are a little tricky, weather is a little tricky. So Goa with its beaches, with its, hotels and everything being internationally accessible, having an international airport and a place where, everyone wants to be and interact in a informal way. So I think in that sense, Goa is one of the perfect venues within India and even within the, larger Asian, market, I would say. But you are right that the city and the accessibility matters a lot while doing an event.
Although, I'm hoping to come to your event next year. Well, I'm going to be at your event next year. I'm gonna make that pledge now.
You should better be there. I mean, and allow us to host you and enjoy some hospitality, Indian hospitality. So you should definitely be there. Fintan, you too. I mean,
I'll be absolutely. Be fantastic.
Yeah, I might not come now.
Are you saying that because Fintan said yes?
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
Oh, brutal, brutal.
Jay, let's look at the bigger picture. I mean, one of the reasons that people will look at your event and think, ooh, that looks interesting, is because of the sort of shifting landscape in largely online / mobile gambling in India. And land-based or water-based. It's all a bit up in the air in a really, really fluid state at the moment. What's going on at the moment? Is there anything interesting happening?
So, I mean, as far as gambling and betting is concerned, like I said, there are only two states where the activity is really allowed. One being Goa, where there are casinos in the river, which are called offshore casinos, six of them, where you can do live games, slot machines, etc. The second license available in Goa is five-star hotels, where you could do casinos with slot machines or any sort of electronic machines. So there are land-based and offshore casinos. So there are total around 16 or 17 of them in total in Goa. The other state where the activity is allowed is Sikkim, which is in the Himalayas. It's in the northeast of India and a very tiny state where there are casinos and you also have betting kiosks or betting parlors or betting shops. So you can have casinos in five-star hotels over there. I think there are three of them or four of them now, which are live in Sikkim. And you can have shops where you have sports betting, you can have casino or other sort of games, other sort of machines. So these are the two broad activities that are allowed in Sikkim. As far as gambling and betting is concerned, these are the only two activities that are allowed. Apart from that, but in online, as you said, there is a great lot of things going on. But it's going on more in the skill-based space. And when we say skill-based gaming in India, it includes a large gamut of games which may not really be called skill-based in other jurisdictions. It includes games like Daily Fantasy, Rummy, which is a very popular card game, poker. It includes also increasingly now there are, the line between skill and chance is getting blurred. A lot of new games are being introduced. New formats are being introduced. In that way, a lot of games are going on in the skill-based space, which is expected. The market for skill-based online games is expected to cross $5 billion within the next 2 years. There have been unicorn startups with valuation of over $1 billion, at least three of them within this online skill-based gaming space, where you can stake your money and play with money. And in the last year or two, we got several positive judgments from high courts across India which said that this activity is completely legitimate. It's different from gambling and betting. It cannot be banned by the state governments in any manner. And so this activity is allowed in most of the states. You can draw an analogy with US, where again, state-wise, the regulation happens. Over here also, the laws go state-wise. And most of the state permit this activity, which is fast growing. I think there are more than 400 million people, as per some report, which play these kind of online games for money, real money games. So that's what's happening in the online skill-based gaming space, which is growing, 30% plus year on year. Because of these recent court judgments that I talked about earlier, we are seeing more openness of the government to look at this activity and not look at it, banning it. And at the federal level, at the central level, also discussions have started. A task force was formed by the government to look at regulation of this sector at a federal level. As I said, till now, it is happening at the state level. But there is some momentum now going to frame federal rules for gaming, online gaming, which includes both skill-based and chance-based games. So there is momentum now at a federal level as well. And maybe within the next few months, there would be some guidelines or some rules, federal rules, to govern this space, which would be a much anticipated step, because going to 29 states and complying with 29 different regulations is proving to be difficult for the industry. So federal regulation, one kind of guiding principles, is the need of the hour, which we'll probably expect to see in the months to come. Of course, these will just be broad guidelines and not a full-fledged law, legislation which needs to be passed by the parliament. That is going to be a much longer process, probably a couple of years or even more. Several more rounds of consultation, committees, etc., will be needed for that. So we are not there yet in terms of a legislation and licensing process. But there would be some guidelines in terms of self-regulation, KYC, not allowing minors, and so on and so forth, advertising rules, and so on and so forth. So we are looking at that for the moment. And that is something that is anticipated, and what way the government looks at it, whether they have not indicated they want to ban it completely, which would in any case be unconstitutional and challenged in courts. So they are looking at framing certain broad rules which would allow this sector to grow, to be regulated by the industry and the government together. So we are looking forward to that, and that will probably shape the way ahead and will chart how the industry will look in the coming few years.
Okay, Jay, in terms of but I don't know whether you know this, whether you can even estimate this, but I'm curious as to whether there is any estimation of a black or gray market in India, either land-based or iGaming, and whether there's been any, whether there is much of a market for offshore iGaming sites. Is there any talk about that?
I mean, the slightly old reports say that the total market is worth over $60 billion, which includes both online, offline. Most of it is gray, as it's not regulated in most states, as I said. And skill gaming is only a small portion of the broader iGaming market. So there is a huge amount that is happening in the gray or offshore markets. There have been a lot of websites which have been promoting aggressively, advertising aggressively in India, which are essentially offshore sites. The government has issued two advisories against these websites, which were also using surrogate means, they were opening a news website and using the same brand and logo and promoting the news website or a content website, blog, or some other website, but using the same name, same color, same logo. So the government has come down heavily on that. They tried to block certain domains, blocking payments, blocking some shell companies which are being used for this. So the government is doing all of this. But as you know, as much as anyone else, I mean, blocking is never a solution. It's more of a futile exercise, as there will be newer domains that will come up. It's seen everywhere in the world. I mean, even the most stringent, you know, countries which do this, like China, etc., or Turkey, there are always going to be websites which come up and which will do huge volumes. Same is the case in India. Government has, in fact, not come down very heavily. It has just started the process of looking at this. Some action has been taken. I mean, after the government advisories, there were before the government advisories, there were advertisements continuously on television during the cricket matches and sports and prime time of these offshore brands, their surrogates, etc. Now that has stopped because government had issued a strongly worded, notification, guideline saying anyone who does this and the TV channels and the other digital platforms feared that they would lose their license or they would be taken off air by the government. So that has stopped, but the activity has not stopped altogether. And according to my estimation, an industry estimation, I think at least $2-3 billion in terms of the net money going out of India per month from these offshore websites. So that is what is happening right now. $2-3 billion.
$2-3 billion with a B.
With a B per month.
Per month.
Yes. Yes. Going outside, and that is just the net, not even the. I mean, after all expenses or everything else, after paying out the winners and the other expenses, the payment expenses and so on, that is going out of India because most of these are offshore. I mean, they are not regulated in any way. Most of them, a lot of them don't even have any pretense of a license. Some of them do have Malta and Curaçao and other licenses. Some of them don't even have that. They are using shell companies, I mean, which are registered. I saw one company which is a socks company. So they are taking payments from that company and people are playing and, that money is somehow being sent outside India. So that is what is happening. It's a risk, people are taking that risk. It's an economic risk. It's a financial risk for India as well. And that is why the government has started to take note. Some domains were blocked a few weeks ago, but they again started doing something under another domain. So that's what's pretty much happening with regard to the offshore players.
Fabulous. Thank you for that, Jay. Fenton, any questions?
I think Jay's covered everything. That's why he's the great guest. You just let him get on with it and just get out of his way.
He's like an outboard motor. Jay, thank you very much for joining us again. And you're always welcome if anything exciting happens in India. But those black market figures are staggering. And if you're the government, you got to look at that and you got to think, hey, lads, maybe we should do something about this.
I mean, yes, that is one thought process within the government. The second one is obviously to come down heavily and ban everything and just arrest the people and so on. But as you know, that never works completely. I mean, it may stop the problem momentarily. I don't think it stops it completely. The other thing, I wanted to talk about is the taxes. There was a committee that was formed, by the government to look at the goods and services tax for online gaming, casinos, and horse racing. So all three kind of sectors within gaming. And they were mulling. There is a 28% tax. Industry is asking it for GGR, which is the global, pretty much the global norm. But the government is also looking whether it should be on deposit or it should be on every bet. So that is something that is going on, and that may also be something that would be very crucial. On 17th, that is Saturday, 17th December, is going to be a meeting of the Goods and Services Tax Council, which includes ministers and representatives from all 29 states as well as the federal government. Decision may not come on 17th, but in the next few months, that decision is also expected. And there is no consensus. There is split between various states on whether to charge it on the full bet, whether to charge it on deposit, or whether to do GGR. So that's a big battle that is going on the taxation front. And hopefully there will be clarity on the taxation as well over the next few months. So taxation as well as the federal rules, I think these are two things that everyone who is concerned with India is looking forward to in 2023, pretty much.
When you say looking forward to, I mean...
looking forward to a conclusion, I mean.
Yeah. It's always nice to get a line drawn under things.
Absolutely. Keeping it hanging is also not very helpful, neither here nor there. So, I mean, just... And hopefully a good conclusion is what I meant. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, wait and see.
But I mean, governments and logic sometimes don't go hand in hand, so you never know what will happen.
That's very generous to say sometimes. That's very fair. Thank you, Jay. And, you know, I already said thanks for joining us, so like, I'm not going to say that again.
No, thank you so much for having me. Always nice to, you know, have this conversation.
Jay, anytime.
And wishing you and all your listeners also a very happy festive season in 2023.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Gambling Files podcast, please find us on LinkedIn. Give us a big, juicy, succulent like. That nearly went wrong. You can find us under the name The Gambling Files Podcast. You can find us on Twitter under The Gambling Files. I think the handle is just at Gambling Files. You can connect to myself, John Bruford, or Fintan Costello, also on LinkedIn. We're also both on Twitter. And you can find all of our previous episodes at www.thegamblingfiles.com. If you enjoyed it, please share, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your colleagues, and we'll see you next time.